is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Because no race has the last word on culture and civilization. They do not know what we are capable of. They do not know what we are thinking. Because my work has only just begun.
Up you mighty people. Feel it down in your soul. Till you can't control it. Put your hand up to the sky. Mama, don't ask why. In these dark and lonely times, we gon' turn the tide. If you're looking for a sign, turn and look inside of you. Your body is a temple. Your sweat is holy water. Every move you're making is praise unto Master. Yes.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 11th of May, 2023, and you're on the clock with Aaron Green. And I played that song today. Again, I always have to make the disclaimer, it is not a Bahamian song, but it is from our Trinidadian cousins, and I love them, and they love us. And you could hear it through that song because it's universal. Right? It's not just a song about the Trinidadian people. I play that song today. Maybe you, when you hear the show, you'll get a sense. But there's even a more important reason why I play that song today. I play that song today because today is my partner's birthday. And I want to say happy birthday to one of the most industrious, genius Bahamian women there is. She's magical. But most of all, because in everything that she does, she reminds people that they are mighty people, in every, right? And so I play that song to say happy birthday to Tina Johnson from the Gibson Clan. And I'm sure the whole of the Gibson Clan is celebrating your birthday with you today. Today joining me is Mr. Reg Eldon, and we're going to be talking about two new courses that he is offering, one on grief and loss recovery, and one which I'm really, really excited to talk about. Now, that sounds a little odd, right? Nobody is ever excited to talk about grief and loss, right? But I'm sure that we welcome the opportunities to learn more about how we can recover from grief and loss, or recover from loss and deal with grief. And so I think we're going to have a great conversation today. I want to ask what I affectionately call members of the 3 Score and 10 gang to call the show. To ask Mr. Eldon questions, but more your concerns about aging in a rapidly changing Bahamas. The numbers to call today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And if you're in the Bahamas but outside of New Providence, because New Providence is not the center of the universe, we got a toll-free number for you. That's 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. And so I got a little housekeeping I want to start here. How many of you all tried to travel through town yesterday? I did, and quickly found myself making a detour. It only took me 2 light cycles stuck on Blue Hill Road trying to enter Cumberland Street to realize that I needed to make a detour. You know, something wonderful happened yesterday in town. Members of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force were in Parliament, right? The Prime Minister, the government of the Bahamas, were declaring May 10th the HMBS Flamingo Memorial Day. This is a wonderful exercise, right? The record of the ultimate sacrifice of the 4 Marines that died in that incident, but also of the sacrifices of all of the members of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, those who have volunteered to protect us. It is about preserving a part of our history and ensuring not only do we never forget it, but that we always understand how it has informed our development. But I tell you what, nobody who can appreciate that when their entire day is turned upside down by unplanned traffic delays. And I say unplanned, and I say it with confidence, and I'm going to tell you why. Because yesterday morning I read the notice issued by the Office of the Prime Minister indicating what yesterday was and that flags would be flown at half mast. I saw two notices, in fact, two separate notices. And I asked, why did none of those notices include a directive or suggestion to avoid town? Why didn't any of those notices indicate that there would be an event in town? See, this thing, it don't just go with sense. It have to be balanced. Yes, we all have an obligation to engage in the activities necessary to preserve the past. But that must be balanced with the effective and functional present and with a commitment to forge forward in the future. These things have to be balanced. And so in these moments, we have to make it easier for people to participate in national development. We have to make it easier for people to find balance. I'm sure lots of people would have wanted to attend that event if they knew it was happening. So I put a little word out, and it turns out that there were people who knew, but due to the rules of the civil service, could not share that information with the public. That's fine. I'm mad at nobody. But we've got to make it easy for people to get involved, to support what it's doing. Because most importantly, we have to find a space to honor Bahamians, older Bahamians. We have to find a space to honor the dead and our ancestors. We have to find a space that everybody can commit to. So today, we're going to talk a bit about that. But I ain't get quite there yet. See, because that's about traffic and notices, mm-hmm. You know. If you are traveling on the northern side of the island, in the northeastern district, you should be aware that the Shirley Street and Mackey Street light is not functioning properly. It is now flashing. When I drove past it earlier this morning, it was flashing yellow on one side and I think red on the other side. I couldn't see it. In fact, I couldn't pay attention to much but the road in front of me and the large commercial vehicle that recklessly barged its way through the intersection. I say barge because there was an accident there. I predict them. It's obvious somebody was trying to turn left on red, ignoring the law that it is illegal to turn left on red anywhere where a sign is not posted. And guess what? At this point in time, there's no intersection in New Providence where a sign is posted. Not one. Not one sign. The University Drive and University Commons sign, it does not exist, at least not there anymore. Who knows where it is, but it's not there. You see, I want to mention that because the similarities to how we respond to traffic and what's required of us on the road and what happened in the Shantytown case and the ruling. And I imagine that we don't feel like we have to follow the law on the road the same way that people felt that they didn't have to follow the law in establishing or in proving that a proper notice was established. I'm going to say again, traffic observation and management is the best tool that we have to be able to push this country forward, to be able to assess and examine systems in our country. And once again, I'm going to beg the Royal Bahamas Police Force to start enforcing traffic controls. Don't just use it as a tool, right, as reasonable suspicion to pull over young black men. And guess what? They don't even need a car anymore, Mr. Nuri. I watched a police officer pull down a young black man on a Segway this morning.
Really?
Yeah, and I want to say to that young man, I want to thank you for just doing what you ought to do in the moment, because everybody and Jesus know you could outrun that police officer on that Segway. He can't catch you, but you did the right thing. Absolutely. I want to salute you for that. I also want to remind us, when we're on the roads, to always be observant, put our phones down, keep our eyes around us, not just because you have your phone in your hand, because sometimes people around us need us as a part of their community to observe what's happening. Yesterday, I drove upon an incident that was really weird. I mean, say it's really weird, I can start like that. A person I was driving with while I was in a store was very concerned with a scene he saw on the road. A group of young men walking with one young girl, all heading home from school, or at least leaving school, maybe not heading home. He was concerned that the young men were being rough with the young lady. And having been a young man himself, and being acutely aware of how easily situations could spiral out of control, felt the need to raise the alarm. With me, with my half-broke foot, who usually jump into Grammy mode, and jump out the Jeep and begin to gently accost young people, I had to restrain myself and had to sit back. Also, we weren't quite sure what was happening. There was no proof of what was actually about to go down. And so I hope that just being able to look into the faces of the young men and the young woman, right, as we encountered them, was a sufficient intervention to dissuade or deter anything that could have possibly happened. We don't want to wish the worst of our young people. We don't go out on the streets, and we should not go out on the streets deeming every young person to be a criminal in waiting until they prove otherwise. That's not the play. But we are required, as members of the community, to be vigilant and to watch over those who don't have the capacity, the agency, and sometimes the experience to watch over themselves. I hope this is all going to be a part of our conversation this morning. Two last notes before we move forward. Don't forget the School of Social Sciences Independence discussion series. The second day is today at UB Harry Seymour Library, 4 to 8 p.m., panel discussion is Building Community, Building Equity, and the keynote speaker is Dr. Cremel Saunders. Also, to anybody who could hear my voice, I just need to say this. Camouflage, print, accessories, clothing is not illegal in the Bahamas. I don't know who's telling tourists coming to the Bahamas that camo is illegal, but it is not illegal in the Bahamas. It may be illegal to enter a country with camo that's on your itinerary. And so they advise guests to just not bring any camo on the cruise. But I was disturbed when I saw a conversation where foreigners were touting with extreme confidence. In fact, one of them riled me and tell me, what do I know? And quoted an online article for me, clearly explaining how camouflage is illegal in the Bahamas. Dear Ministry of Tourism, please get on that. But most importantly, because I think it's on a little bit, and that I am concerned about. I got a text here, and I have not observed this. This is the first time I'm hearing of it, but somebody said that a lot of people are just turning left on red because the vehicles behind them are acting aggressively, acting recklessly. This person says, not only are they threatening people, I've been threatened before because I didn't want to turn left on red, but he said they are now shooting into your car if you don't. And I think you're referencing that incident where some assailants, I think, were fleeing a scene and assaulted a driver who did not move out of their way. I think that's important as well, because this is something that older generations of Bahamians have to deal with, right? In a rapidly changing Bahamas, where the roadways make no accommodation for the elderly. Good morning, Mr. Reg Eldon.
Hey, good morning.
And good morning, Mr. Cecil Nuri.
I'm excited about the show today. So I'm eager for you to start and just the conversations. It's good.
Yeah, man. And I want to get your perspective as well, right, about how do we respond to generations of Bahamians who are aging? How do we respond? What services do we provide? What do they want? What do they want? Mr. Rev Sheldon, please introduce yourself to the audience.
So I prefer being called Reg,
yes,
as you know.
You go.
I've always been Reg throughout my whole career. I worked for 40 years with the Methodist Church, starting with camping, and then I moved into being General Secretary with the conference, and then I moved into being the Dean of CLET, which was a training school that we established for the training of the diaconal ministry. Mm-hmm. And then I served as the Dean of Further Education at Queen's College. So I retired some years ago, and now I'm starting a new kind of work in that I went to be certified in grief support and grief recovery. And also I went to be certified in spiritual coaching and spiritual direction. So those are my two areas of focus right now, and I'm working with those. And out of comes the two areas of thought, thinking, discussion that we have before us that we're going to walk through this morning. Both absolutely important for all of us. And in some ways, they're very connected. There's a bridge because a lot of people, as we age, we have unresolved grief because of the things we have lost. And the whole idea of aging is a check on what do we still have that's left for us. And that can bring considerable loneliness, considerable sadness, and so we're going to talk a little bit about that. I can share some of the things I'm doing on that and where we are with that in this country.
Mm-hmm. So let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Hi, good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to chime in because you talk about unplanned events here in this country. Mm-hmm. I just think it's just so crazy the way we plan stuff and don't have any common sense. Mm-hmm. On Saturday past, I attempted to travel my regular route going Market Street, on Market Street North, heading south onto Market Street.
Yes.
I knew there was an event going on there, but I didn't realize that me along with the other vehicles didn't realize that we could not go through and turn onto the corner of near the school.
Yeah.
So we, along with buses, a whole heap of us ran there, and then there was no police at the beginning. I thought, this is after 5. Mm-hmm. The event is going to slow and start. We met barricade at the beginning of the corner, so we had nowhere to go. So here you are. There were like about 10, 12 cars. There was a tourist behind me in the FD, a bus, two vehicles down, and we having difficulty even to turn around because, you know, it's a very narrow road,
mm-hmm.
and there's no way to get out.
Yeah.
So I'm going like, I was so livid. I called 9. First, actually, a speed cop came speeding through with a sergeant. I stopped them, flagged them down, and I said to them, hey, this is crazy. Can you just open a barricade so we all can just turn right and get out of here
mm-hmm.
and put the barricade, you know,
put it back.
At the other end of the street
okay.
so that, like, so it'll open up the roadway for people to go to Bluer Road and get out.
Yeah.
Oh, he ignored me. He ran. He said, oh, no, you got to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
So I called 911 because I was kind of livid because it was just so crazy. You know, I say, how do people not, hey, there's an event. This road is narrow. People are going to come through here. So, and how are they going to get out once they get in here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm saying to them, hey, you can cause an accident here. So anyway, I called 911. Apparently they responded because they got someone to come down there and move the barricade because then I was able to turn around and get all the way back around.
Yeah.
And then I came back up Shirley Street to go on to Bluer to go through and turn back around and go on to Bay Street to get out.
Yes.
But no one with common sense knew that, hey, we should have this road. If this, no one could get all the way up there, if this road doesn't go through, shouldn't we block the road off at Shirley Street?
Uh-huh. Yep.
I had to call 911 to get it to happen.
Yes, ma'am.
Before an accident occurred. You know, we don't look so stupid. Like I said, there was a car with tourists behind us in the FD, and they were all in this jam, you know?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
There was no police around to even say, well, divert the stop. We, as Bahamians, we just keep, we're getting older, we'll be going backwards, and we're getting younger in terms of common sense, because we don't use any common sense when we plan events. We don't think it all the way through. All we think, oh, we're going to have a big celebration. But think it all the way through. How is it going to affect the people who's making sure, this, who's coming to the celebration and who's not coming to the celebration?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Well, I just need to say that.
You know, I know. I appreciate it. I appreciate that greatly.
I mean, I recorded it and everything. I made recordings and I was like, who could I send this information to?
Send it to the Ministry of National Security with your suggestions for how to improve it in the future.
Exactly.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so
much. All right, thanks for coming.
Absolutely, and I appreciate. Go on, listen,
I just want to ask Mr. Eldon, how much is loan payments? And recently, I see advertisements saying in the United States they have like they have scores of people, hundreds of people in percentage. But I want to know, is it real in the Bahamas, especially in a communal society where we hail everybody?
Yeah, but we only hail everybody if we see everybody. So a lot of old people don't get out. A lot of older people are restricted to their homes. They don't have anybody to take them out. They can't drive any longer. Or they have some physical disability. Let me say that when, you know, I grew up in Eleuthera, which is a little a small community in the Current, and my aunt, when she was in the final years of her life, we had someone to take care of her, to be with her, whatever. But every time I talked to her and asked her how she was doing, because I was living in Assau, her constant reference all the time to me response was, Reggie, I'm okay, but I'm so. And I think if you had to take a poll of a whole lot of people over probably over 60, you know, who are not active, who have retired, who didn't get another job, they don't have hobbies that cause them to be integrated with other people into communities and to be active with either church or some clubs or whatever. I think you will find out that most of those people are lonely. In fact, there's a new statement that came out now from the U.S. that says that loneliness is the greatest epidemic right now that is facing, basically facing the world. And I believe that's true.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a hyper-individualism that we enjoy in our youth that is unsustainable in as we age.
Well, I think two things fall in the category of over 60, over 65. There are people basically who prefer to stay by themselves. They love their space. Mm-hmm. They are never bored. They can never get, you know, they can't find enough time to do all they need to do. But there's some other people, for instance, who don't have any other interest. And you know, I talked to my friends sometime, and they said, I said, how's things going? I'm bored out of my mind. And it's like, well, I could never be, I don't know, bored too much, because even if I have 2 days at home that I don't go out, I have so much that I need to do and I would want to follow up with, and movies I want to watch, documentaries, books I want to read. And but there are people who don't have a lot of interest. Mm-hmm. And I think loneliness hits those people much harder than other people, and those are the people we have to look out for sometimes.
All right, I've got a text here. The person said, listen, I just tuned in. I'm tuned in. Please tell the audience your name again and how they can contact you.
Yes, okay, so my website is Reg, R-E-G, Eldon, two words, .com, RegEldon.com, and my Gmail is Reg, W, Eldon, Reg, Eldon, @gmail.com. So those are ways that you can get in touch with me. My website will show my entire brochure, which I have put out in the three services that I'm offering right now. One is, of course, weddings. I love marrying people and officiating at weddings. I do a lot of...
I'm glad you made the distinction, right?
Yes. I do a lot of tourist weddings, yes. I do destination weddings, and I like that. Because it's sadness. It's not really joyful.
Yeah.
You know, I I can say this right now, is that the reason I'm involved in the grief and loss recovery is that I believe people who are grieving can recover.
Yeah.
And we don't always have to be sad and grieving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I love getting married. I just don't love being married. It's the recovery part that gets me. Nuri, you want to say something? Then we're going to go to the caller.
Yes, I have some colleagues who just recently lost their parents, right? I have challenges finding the right words to say. And I tend to say, man, I ain't saying nothing. You know? Any advice on what to do, what to say with someone who just lost a loved one, or what should we be doing in that case?
Yes.
Reg, let's go to the caller, and then we okay. answer both
yes.
questions.
Yes, certainly. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there? 2, 3. Caller? All right, there we go. We get back to the question.
Yes, so I think what you said is absolutely correct. Aaron and I were talking down in the lobby before we came up about empathy. My greatest experiences with death and grief and loss, and just let me say, when I'm talking about loss recovery, we're not only talking about people who have had death in their family, a member has died. We're talking about loss of any kind. There is extreme grief for people who lose their jobs. There's extreme grief for people who lose their pets. There's grief about even if you lose some of your physical abilities. For instance, people who were active and now, because of some physical issue, they can't get around and they can't be independent. There's a certain amount of grief involved in that, and sadness, where people sometimes don't recover. But to speak to your specific point, the best thing to do is not to say much. We have a tendency in the Bahamas to use these meaningless cliches. You know, the one thing I detest is to hear people say, God knows best, or they're much better off, and or, you know, God chose the best rose in the garden, and things like that. And it's like, or, you know, you'll get over it again. The sun will come out, or there's dancing after morning. These are useless sayings. They don't do anything. In fact, in the person that's grieving, sometimes they create a sense of anger. And it's like, because you can't tell me that, well, if that's God, I don't want anything to do with God. If God chooses the most beautiful rose and takes them to heaven, then what am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. So plenty of times, Mr. Nuri, I have worked with just being present. It's amazing the hospital rooms, the places where people are dying, the homes where I just sit. And I don't say anything. You know, sometimes I go in a serving capacity and to make tea for people, mm-hmm. and or to get in the kitchen and find them something to eat and sit with them and say, hey, I just made this. Let's, you know, yeah. eat a little bit of this. Or, you know, can I get you some tea or make you some coffee? When people are in deep grief and hurting a lot, there's very little we can do. The best thing we can do is try to let our spirits join. So if I sit with you, Aaron, you've lost somebody dear to you, and it's like, and if you know, because you pick up intuitively that I'm caring about you and I'm concerned about you, you will respond. And it's like this, when you're ready to talk, you will talk. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the other thing that I want to say is that in grief situations, especially death, in groups and families, everybody experiences death differently, because each member of a family has different experiences with the person who has passed away. And some people may be quiet, and they don't think, and they don't speak, and they just sit there. Other people are talking and making mm-hmm. making meals, and so it's all different. But I don't personally now. I don't go in with any things that I know best here, and I can talk, mm-hmm. and I can tell these people how to do this, because I can't.
Yeah, it's just a matter of being there.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, they call it the ministry of presence. Like mm-hmm. like you bring your presence, and yeah. and once people know that you care about them, and that you have their best interests at heart, all sorts of good things happen. And I think that's one of the things that as empaths and intuitives who we are sometimes, I think that's how that works.
Absolutely. I'm so excited about the conversation, I forgot that we should probably take a break. We'll ask you a question, and then okay. We go to the break.
Yes. Yeah. My question now is, and then I go on blank, Krishna, right? I know grief and loss and loneliness, right? As a person with old elderly parents, right, who are independent, but who wants me to be involved in their everyday life, and you know you're busy, what techniques can I use to entertain them?
Hold on. To entertain them?
I gotta entertain them.
Hold on, you mean like, see, because when older people is talking about us, right, to entertain them mean to distract them from what it is they want to do and put them on our program? Or do you mean entertain them, like provide things for them to do in my absence?
All of that, included of me being there, to have meaningful conversation where I can be engaged.
Yeah, one of the worst things in life ever that I've experienced is when adult children cease being involved in the life of their parents or grandmothers or aunts or uncles or old relatives who help bring them up. There are some people in our community who are still very much under oaths of obligation, who care for people simply because they feel they have to do it. There are some people who do it out of genuine love, that they actually love these parents. They still like them, despite the fact that they're telling you the same story six times over and whatever. But I think the thing that I have experienced that's helped me a lot is to always make them feel as though their life is not over. Like just because they're old, their life hasn't ended. That they still have something to say, they still have something to do, and to make sure that you treat them as naturally as possible. You know, I have an aunt, an Eleuthera, my only aunt, that is still living. She's 92. She just went on a trip to Tennessee with some of her nieces and nephews and people, a group of seven people or whatever. They flew into Atlanta. They drove to Tennessee, and she literally got up and went out with the group at 10 o'clock. And when she couldn't walk anymore, she sat down in a bench. And if they needed a wheelchair, they wheeled her in a wheelchair. But it's like she wouldn't miss anything. That was one of the best things in the world that could have happened for her. Because at home, she's basically in her house. She sleeps in the afternoon, 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon. But when that energy and excitement and care and those kinds of things happen, and to open them up to new experiences, I think that's one of the things that is really good that we can do, you know, to make sure their energy continues and their involvement continues.
Absolutely. They asked Willie Nelson a few months ago, why are you touring on your birthday? Willie Nelson said, why wouldn't I be with all my friends?
Exactly. And he's turning 90 or...
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Caller, you're on the clock.
Remember that statement. You know what we probably could do, Aaron and friends?
Yes, sir.
Because I had personal experience. When I was employed at somewhere else, one of my co-workers asked me occasionally to pick up some medication for her brother who was in Sandilands. Now, most of us think people who are Sandilands are all crazy. But, you know, you have some elderly folks up there who are very, very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed my life because I kind of got close to him and I learned something. But I'll tell you, if we could put in our curriculum where the students... you know, the ones who are serious about living this life, I don't mean the jokers, have an opportunity to visit up there with some of the elderly and experience what they're going through, knowing that if I live too long, maybe that's me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my experiences has been similar to something like this. Someone on their deathbed, and, you know, you quiet because that's the best thing to do,
mm-hmm.
instead of crying and carrying on and preventing the person from passing, said, jump right up and simply said, I'm not going this way, I'm going that way.
Mm-hmm.
Lie down and vent, and was able to do that peacefully because nobody was making a bunch of noise.
Yeah,
and that experience came from visiting, and I think we should put in the curriculum where these kids have to really go and write about it and talk about it and sensitize them to this experience of people who are alone, lonely, and some who are actually crossing over.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Absolutely. There are a lot of strategies we can employ.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There are states that have intergenerational care facilities and intergenerational residential facilities, right? But I want to say to the caller, them jokers, first of all, they're a little youngish and their brains haven't set yet. That's the perfect experience for them. Let me tell you something. There's a magic sometimes and people find each other who need each other. And there's some elderly people, they need a little joker in their life so they could say, boy, look here, I remember when I was like you. And ain't nothing wrong with your bad head. Come, let's talk for a minute. You know, these are the sorts of things that you right, caller. We need to figure out how to force them upon us. Anyway, y'all hear that song? That's Ramming Brothers. Who's going to fill their shoes? And when we get back, we're going to transition, talk a little more about creative aging and ask our elders among us to help us figure out who's going to fill your shoes. You should fill them while you're still here. We ain't taking you out your shoes yet. We'll be right back.
Who's gonna build that shoe? Oh, Lordy. Who's gonna stand that tall? Who's gonna make the effort to help us one and all? Who's gonna give their heart and soul to get to me and you?
Lord, I wonder.
Tell me, who's gonna fill that shoe?
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
To get to me and you,
Lord, I wonder.
Tell me, who's gonna fill that shoe?
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. My guest today, Mr. Reg Eldon, and my co-host, Mr. Cecil Nuri. See, Mr. Nuri, I knew you had good questions.
Yeah, I just know it's gonna be disinteresting. I mean, you know, when you like relieved that there exists a program that addresses this.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited.
And you live in a village. Yeah. That's why I wanted you here. And Fox Hill Village, you see that people still do the things that we sort of are talking about. But before we go on, I just want to make a connection. Carl, I come into you in 1 second. The lady who called earlier talking about traffic, I just want to make a connection to what we're talking about, right? Because somebody has to do the thinking, right? Somebody has to do the envisioning, the imagining, the dreaming, the looking forward, the preparation for the future. And she highlighted that it feels like, and I could feel her frustration across the board, we're not focused on the future. We're not focused on the other people who are connected to us, but also we're not focused on the future implications of our actions, right? And that sort of ties into this conversation because it's become apparent to me that we don't think about aging. We don't want to think about dying. We don't want to think about the dead. But the truth is, some of us are going to have to commit ourselves to doing that work, you know. And we'll get to this call, and then we're going to get back in the conversation. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning to your wonderful guest, and good morning, Yuri. Aaron, before I begin, we never call our area that village. We call it settlement. We celebrate our 50th year. We never call it the village. We get it from Hillary Clinton.
Hold on. You saying Fox Hill?
No, I'm not saying...
You're saying settlements.
I
see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We call it something else. Yes, you would call it here.
But pause.
Go ahead.
I just have to stop you there. Hillary Clinton old, but she ain't old enough to have introduced the concept of the village to the Bahamas. But we appreciate it. I just want you to know that I'm not disrespecting her.
No, I got you.
Good stuff.
Funky love opinion. I that by law, my constitution.
Nice stuff. Okay.
You could tell me I ugly, handsome. Doesn't matter. But listen, good gentlemen. We need to borrow the concept of Japan and Italy. I mean, Japan and China. Mostly Japan. They respect their elderly. They provide areas for the elderly. They have places where they can lay out, play games, and what have you. Silence. We don't have nothing for the elderly. We don't have no. We waste all this money. We don't spend where you have like open concept. I know the gentleman know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But look at Japan. Yeah, we know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
They play dominoes. If you have festivals.
And in many cultures around the world, I went to Cuba. And all of the parks in the morning and lunchtime, people are out there, they're exercising, they're doing Qigong and Tai Chi, and the tables with backgammon boards and things like that. You're absolutely right.
It's like, we got to look for ourselves, though, Aaron. When we get old, you know they're going to do? They're going to take us, lock us up, and they'll leave them in silence.
Not me, Pumpkin Eater. Not me.
Well, but you know, we got some bright, educated people, engineers, who have contributed this country.
Yes.
And they should be in the park in every constituency. That's why I want local government. Aaron.
Yes. Thank you much.
Have a good day.
Yeah. Can I say one thing immediately to answer that is we have issues with the elderly people that we're talking about now only because we fail to work on some of these issues in the early parts of our lives. There are a lot of people who are 40 and 50 and 60 who are not in the 80s and 90s that we seem to be talking about right now who have also lost their passion for life. And those people, once you stop growing and once you lose your interest in life and once you get stuck in a rut and know that you don't feel that you can possibly change, you will grow into that same kind of older person that we're now talking about, it seems. What I'm advocating in the work that I'm offering to with people now is that I am wanting to basically arrest this trend early in life. So, for instance, a person who is in their 40s who is stuck and they're in a job that they're getting no joy from and they're in a career that doesn't suit their spirit and soul, and they are working with something that is not meaningful to them and going to work as a drudgery and doing what they're doing is basically to get a paycheck. You see, if hundreds and thousands of our people are doing that, you can't in any way expect a bright, creative future. Because if you've done that when you're 30 and 40 and 50, what are you going to do when you get 60, 70, and 80? And so what I'm trying to call people to is a responsible movement in their life which says, what am I doing with my life? Is this who I'm supposed to be? The second part of the course that I'm running says it is how to write the next chapters of your life. Many of us believe that other people control our lives. And other people dictate to us what we're supposed to do or not do. And other people build the frame in which our life operates. That is not true. It's not so. It may appear so, but every human being has a right to determine and to create their own future. And there was a book that influenced my life a lot by a woman named Donna McCava. And she wrote a book with this title, I Will Not Die an Unlived Life. She was a very successful author, a very successful professor, but she came to a point in her life where her life became stagnant and she didn't know what to do. She was stuck, she was bored, she wasn't experiencing good health, and she took some time off and went to a cabin somewhere and spent 6 months by herself and journeyed and did whatever she had to do and came out with this book. Basically, she said when she dies, she wants her life to have been fully lived. And I will not die an unlived life. I think many seniors, many older people, many aging people basically have given up that their life has any more meaning. And I want to say that is not so. I don't mind how old you are or how much you've done or how much you haven't done. There's still an opportunity in your life, if you're breathing, to make some changes and to turn some things around for yourself. And so the course that I'm offering is just that. How do you write the next chapters of your life? Do you write them or do you let other people write them? I put a quote on Facebook some weeks ago to say that the next chapters of my life are so important until I cannot afford to let anyone else write even a single word in those chapters. Mm-hmm. I have to write them myself. But many of us have lost the joy and the privilege and all of that to actually write the chapters. We don't think we have the ability to do that. This morning I'm saying that you have the ability to do it.
And it's also important for us as community to enable people.
Absolutely.
To do that.
Talking about elderly people who know that they may transition because of their age, right? But don't necessarily volunteering history about themselves, history about the family in general, family trees. How do you convince them that, hey, now is the time to record? Because they think that recording means that they will die soon.
I know. Listen, it's the greatest tragedy in this country. If you want me to say what I feel is one of the greatest tragedies in this country, is the amount of history and the amount of knowledge and personal mm-hmm. stories that we bury every time we go into the cemetery and mm-hmm. we inter a body. It is one of the greatest shames. There's things I want to know right now because I'm working on a book, and I need to talk to people who have been dead 20, 30 years. Because
yes.
those are the people who have the history. They know who married who lived here, who did this, who did that. I can't find it out because no one knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And I never sat down with some of these people in Eleuthera to ask them questions and to record their voices and to let them tell me things. Now there's no way to find out.
And if you don't go back to Eleuthera and sit down with Auntie Vera, is Auntie Vera still with us from Palmetto Point?
No, I don't think she is. She left.
What a story.
Yeah.
What a life.
Everyone of them. Yeah. I remember when Mr. Philip Cash, who was a principal of QC at one point, he was such a magnificent musician, organist, and what I went to his funeral and I said to Reverend Charles Sweeting after the funeral, I said, what a tragedy today is to think that we have buried all of that ability. All of that talent, all mm-hmm. of that giftedness. And I think if older people will, you know who I like talking with on this is the former Governor General, Sartha Folks,
mm-hmm.
one of the most brilliant minds in the country, for sure. And probably one of the people left who still knows everything about everything mm-hmm. in terms of our history and the whole move to independence and the politics and how all of that works. And these are the people that we need to sit with and find out and talk to and record and get the history and talk to people about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
And create an environment where people feel enabled and feel safe
yes,
talking and
absolutely.
Sharing these stories, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so Reg, I would like to invite you to come back next Thursday so we could continue this conversation
okay.
on creative aging. You know, there's just so much more to add to the conversation. I want to tell my older generations of Bahamians, you have now been charged, right? You have now committed yourself through your commitment to us, the whole, to do just that. Not just to write the next chapters of your life, but to write your story.
Yeah. Can I say that if people are interested in this creative aging course, we're going to meet in small groups. The course runs for 6 weeks. And we will determine when we meet whether we're going to meet twice a week or once a week or however that's going to work. But it's really to help to discover what's next in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a course that's only for elderly people. This is a course for somebody who is 50, somebody who's 40, who says, I'm not satisfied with where my life is going. I want to work
to know how I can creatively age, mm-hmm. how I can plan my years ahead so that I don't get to a point where I'm sitting in a rocking chair without seeing anybody day by day and my mind is failing and I'm losing my abilities and I'm not able to grasp life.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do some work. Let's work on ourselves.
All right.
Don't ever give up that you can change where you are right now and become someone else, but you can bring it into being.
Absolutely.
You Next Thursday.
Imagine beyond what you ever thought you could be.
Yes, absolutely.
Contact information.
Reg, R-E-G-W, Eldon, E-L-D-O-N, at gmail.com. And my phone number, which you can call me on, I don't mind, is 427-5457. I'm also on WhatsApp. You can send me a WhatsApp call. I'm interested in people who want to grow, and I'm interested in people who want to change and people who want to become more than they are now, mm-hmm. because every day is an opportunity for us to become even more than we are. But that also calls for us getting really deep with our own selves and asking ourselves some very serious questions about who we are and why are we here and what we're supposed to be doing. So this is going to be a good time. I'll be back next Thursday.
Absolutely. Thank you. We continue this conversation. This was Reg Eldon. He is offering two very important courses, one on grief and loss recovery and the other on creative aging. 410, gang, this is your time. It's our time to focus on you. Thank you for joining me, Reg. Thank you for
Great.
Joining me.
Thanks for Mr. having me.
Right. Thank you, producer. Thank you, audience members. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next.
Knowing that it's there won't pave the way.
Tell me,
who's gonna fill that shoe?
Tell me,
who's gonna stand that tall? Who's gonna make the effort to help us one and all?